And you may have noticed as you came in, whether through the front foyer or the south foyer, seven posters which announce the seven London-based Christ-centered gospel ministries that we particularly are sharing the work with. We have an informal partnership with each of those, and one of them is Send International, and there is a story behind our affiliation with Send, and this is it. I'll tell you a story. 20 years ago, there was a handsome young couple named Robert and Kathleen Magwood, known to their friends as Mags and Kathleen. And they felt the call of God to be involved in the work of the gospel by going somewhere. And so Send International was the organization that sent them, as it turned out, to the Ukraine, where they were involved in the work of the gospel there until they got what must have been some sort of promotion to Siberia. And so all in all, they spent 10 years overseas on behalf of the work of the Lord, to do the work of the Lord. And all that changed 10 years ago now when, surprisingly, the still very young Robert Magwood was made the director of Send International of Canada. And the Send International headquarters is here in the London area. And so he and Kathleen and their children moved to London and settled immediately into life at West London, have been vitally involved in the work of the church on a number of levels while they've been raising their three lovely children. And so it is my pleasure, because we do this every 2 years with each of our partners, to have Mags find his way to the stage and make a presentation. For those of you who are newish to us, who haven't been here for more than 2 years, this might be the first you've heard of the work of Send. It'll be the first you've heard of our affiliation with Send. And for the rest of us who go back beyond 2 years ago, this is a reminder, a refresher, and an opportunity for us to share the work that Send is doing in the name of the Lord. And so, Mags, thanks for being here. Thanks. Appreciate your participation this
thanks,
morning.
Mike. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Delighted to be with you here this morning and to have the chance to share about how God is working through one organization named Send. As Mike mentioned, I'm involved from time to time here at the church. I'm very thankful to be invited back. Some of you may have been here this summer when we talked about ice cream. Does anyone remember ice cream discussion we had? A few of you do. That's good. We talked about generosity, right? It looked something like this. And I was writing on the coattails of Pastor Graham. Remember, we doubled up on the same text and stuff. I'm going to talk a little bit about generosity again this morning, but we're going to lift our eyes out of local ministry here, and we're going to look around the world to unreached people groups. That's the focus of the work that Send does. As Pastor Mike said, it was 20 years ago now that this young couple went out. This is how we looked then. That's Jonathan. If any of you know Jonathan, and Tim is always kind of disappointed that his picture's not in there, because he was there too. So I tucked his picture on the side there. He was there here in the first service, so I had to show that for Tim. Our family doesn't look quite the same. Oh, she's taking a screenshot quick. You get it, Sarah? Awesome. That's for Tim. This is what our family looks like now, and happily Anna has been added to our family. We're delighted to serve here from London. We served in Russia, a place that looks like this. And Russia's in the news a lot these days, and a key leader. We didn't actually live in Moscow, but we lived over, right in the middle. There's this province called Krasnoyarsk, and we lived in the capital city of that province by the same name, Krasnoyarsk. And the most common question that I'm asked is, Mags, was it cold there? And my answer is always, da. It was cold there. I looked on the internet last night just to see what it's like in Krasnoyarsk today. It's going to warm up to a balmy minus 17. And it is bitterly cold there. I'm glad I'm in London this morning. The Lord moved us from the Send Russia team, where we were church planters, and I was a teacher in a Bible college in Siberia, and moved us to serve with the team in Canada. This is a picture of our Send Canada team. There are about 15 of us, some full-time, some part-time. Our office is out in Komoka, right beside the Gingerbread Bakery. If you're ever out there getting stuff from the bakery, you know where that is. I see some smiles. That's good. It's right on the other side of my office wall, if you can believe that. Every morning I come in and it smells like the bakery. It's tricky getting straight into the door. But come for a coffee. Our home on the web looks like this, send.org/Canada. Send.org, and then Canada has this special place over on the side. And we've added a page there, especially after today's service. We've included all the content, the PowerPoint, the notes, things like that, are on that internet page. If you'd like to go and have a look afterwards, we'd surely be glad to welcome you there. I want to say just a quick thanks to our team here. There are a bunch of them here from the Send Canada team. I saw Stuart there. Merla's there. Merla's here for the second service. This is the 11 o'clock group. Merla was with the teenagers, the junior highs, in the first service. I appreciate that you guys have come to help at the booths as well. You may have seen when you came in, there are booths near the doors. There's one at the front, one in the south foyer, and then there's one in the gym between the services. We find that sometimes people prefer to go to the booth on their own and not to talk to anyone. So this is the idea. The booth that's at the front is self-serve. No one will talk to you. You're safe. It has the same literature that's at the booth in the back, but there are some of our friendly teammates who are there if you've got questions. And I just wanted to share with you, there's a brochure there about global mission opportunities, whether you might be a goer or a sender. This shares about where Send is at work, about 22 different countries around the world, among bunches of people groups around the world. The other thing I always like to show is this bookmark, which is to help praying for your missionaries. It's not only for a Send missionary, but it has a prayer request for each day of the week to remind you how you can pray for someone who's serving on the mission field. On the other side is how to pray for their children, a prayer request for each day of the week, and it's easy to tuck into your Bible or your journal and to take it with you. The last thing is we would invite you at the Send tables to subscribe to our e-news. That's the electronic piece. One to three times a month, we send out a short bulletin that has links to blog posts and short videos that I do. And in 2015, I'm going to host a new podcast that has to do with global missions as well. We're trying to find the balance of providing good content, but not bothering you too often. Trying to find that balance. So 1 to 3 times a month. If you're just starting to learn about missions, maybe this is a good idea. It's kind of an entry level that would give you a whole broad range of ideas about global missions and how you might participate in that. So, I would like to pray together with you just before we come to this presentation. We sang a moment ago about how the Lord can move mountains, and we do believe that, don't we? We haven't physically seen mountains move, but when we think of some of the big issues in our day, they're like mountains. They're big. I've been praying about these things in anticipation of this morning. These are some that came to mind. One is busyness. We're going to talk this morning about global missions, and I'm not sure how many of you have that on your radar regularly, or if this is something else that's new into a busy life already. Anyone busy here by chance? But I do want to find ways, I hope this morning will be helpful, in informing you and inviting you to take a step toward that and making it an element of your ministry perspective and how the Lord is working in the world. The second has to do with competition. There are a lot of great mission organizations, and I don't want to be perceived as being in competition, but rather collaboration together with them. We know also in our church here of Compassion and IJM, which are serving at distance from London. But there's the London Pregnancy Center and Teen Challenge as well, right, that are close by. We're not in competition with these. But we believe, like a body, he's raised up different parts to serve in different places in different ways. Do you kind of understand what I mean? Good. Not in competition. On the same team, serving together. The last thing is relevance. Relevance. When I speak to a group like this, very often there will be people who just very politely say, "Mags, this is very interesting, but it's not relevant to me. You see, I'm not going to be a missionary. I'm not going anywhere." Some people say, "Well, it's my age. I'm too young to be a missionary. I can't be a goer." Or, "I'm too old to be a goer. You know how old I am, Mags, can't be a goer." Or, "It's the family stage I'm at. We've got little kids. I couldn't be a goer." Or, "We've got kids in college. I can't be a goer." And I'm going to ask you to suspend that idea and to not put a condition on it. And maybe the Lord will plant some ideas that will seem like mountains, but if he calls you, he can move those mountains out of the way. How many times I've spoken to people who have said, I never expected ... but God moved. And they've responded in obedience. So would you join me in praying this morning that we would have open hearts to hear what the Lord has to say to us, whether maybe he would have us be a goer or maybe be a sender. We'll commit all this to him and let him guide us now. Let's join our hearts to pray. Well, Lord, we are thankful this morning to have this chance as your people to gather freely here in Canada. And I ask, Lord, that you would meet us here now, that you would remind us of things that we know, but reaffirm those things and maybe teach us some new ideas. And Lord, we ask that you would use us, even this church, West London Alliance Church, to continue reaching out to the nations and especially to unreached people groups, unreached people who have had little or no chance to hear the gospel. So we commit this time to you with thanks and anticipation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, at the office this week, we were talking about this presentation, and I said to one of our staff, my goal is that if someone was at West London Alliance Church on Sunday morning, like you are this morning here, and you were approached by someone this afternoon, and they say, were you at West London Alliance Church this morning? And they say, yes. You'll say yes. And they'll say, have you heard of Send International? And you will say, yes, that's good. And then they will ask you, what is Send International all about? What is their core purpose? And I would like you to know the answer. That's my goal this morning, that you know the answer. So I'm going to give you the answer. This is the answer. Our goal is, our core purpose, church planting among the unreached. That's it. Will you say it together with me? Church planting among the unreached. So when I ask you this, what is Send's core purpose? Church planting among the unreached. Well, you already know the answer. Maybe we could go home early. I'd like to take a few minutes to just describe. Someone got up. Pastor Mike just about got up. Okay. So all I'd like to do with the time we have this morning is take that short phrase and unpack it a little bit. The first is this. What do we mean? Oh, church planting among the unreached. There it is again. Okay. So we say what we do and where do we do it, or among whom do we do it? So the first word we have up there is church. What is it that we mean by church? Not long ago, I read a story about a pastor who had preached the morning message, and as is common, Pastor Mike and Pastor Lyle, others do this, they'll come down into the congregation. This pastor was standing at the front of the church, and he was approached by a group of people, and particularly a couple, and they had a baby. The mother had a baby in her arms, so the baby was bundled up. And they approached the pastor, and they said, Pastor, would you pray for our daughter? And the pastor said, of course, I'd be delighted to. And he took the baby from them and opened the blanket and took a very deep breath. Because he realized that this baby had been born specially. The baby's face had not been formed completely. And the little one was struggling to breathe, even. And he was taken aback a little bit, and the young father spoke forward and he said, this is our daughter. She's not going to live long. And we'd like to ask that you would pray with us that she would sense and know our love for her before she passes away. And he said, I would be honored to do that. And he prayed with them for the little girl and for them. And as he finished praying and he passed the baby back to her mom, he said, is there anything we can do as a church to help? And the young couple said, actually, Pastor, these people that came with us in that group that had surrounded them even while they were praying, this is our life group. And they've already taken care of everything. You see, we knew this was a troubled pregnancy, and so they were supporting us along the way, and they helped when we were even at the hospital, bringing the little one home, getting a room ready. They've helped with meals, they've cared for us, and they've supported us through this challenging time. That's what we think of when we think of church. A place, but it's filled with people. And sometimes there is no place, so it's the people. So when we say church, we think not so much of this, but more of this, and this, and this, and this. A community of faith, believing in the Lord Jesus, who come together to worship together and to learn together from God's word and to care for each other and then to reach out. To reach out, we want to talk about healthy churches today. Remarkably, God has entrusted the task of sharing the gospel with unreached people to us. Whether they are near, across the street from us, in our neighborhoods or apartment buildings, or around the world. Of course, our focus is around the world, but that community of faith where there is caring and gospel. SEN believes it's a worthy goal that we pursue that time. How can I say this clearly? We want every woman and man and child to have the opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel. And our purpose is to get especially to those unreached places. So when we say church, we think of this. Now, our purpose is to do what? Church planting among the unreached. Church planting. What do we mean by church planting? Here's where I'm going to use an analogy this morning. Borrow a page from the scripture. Often we hear about garden-type illustrations. The Lord Jesus used that, the parable of the sower, the parable of the mustard seed. He said, I'll plant the seed, Apollos waters it, God will make it grow. And so I've used this garden illustration. Do some of you enjoy gardening? Yes, that's good. I have to confess, yes, I saw that, Nancy. I don't know a lot about gardening, but my mother-in-law does. And I've looked in her garden and how she cares for certain things. There's a certain bit of knowledge that goes with that. And we realize that not everyone can be a gardener just off the cuff. It's true. I'm glad you agree. Thank you. But I would also submit this, that many people can learn to be gardeners if they would like to. Also agree? What I'd like to do is use this analogy to put it alongside church planting. So we're going to talk about gardening a little bit, and I'd like you to think of a healthy plant as it grows along. I know there are lots of stages. I've simplified it into four simple stages, and you know, I've just got a few reminders here. We start right at the beginning, and this is what it looks like here, getting the ground ready. Cultivating the ground, because it's possible to put seeds onto soil that would not be ready, right? It could be too hard, could be the wrong pH balance. I learned that term. It needs to be ready, and sometimes it's helpful to have a little trough here so that you can put the seeds down and they have their best opportunity possible to actually grow into a healthy plant, to germinate. It's very interesting to note that you cannot force a seed to germinate. Right? You can just prepare the way. You can anticipate. And similarly, when we share the gospel, that's the seed, the good news of the gospel, we can prepare the soil for it with kindness and generosity. We sang about it this morning. We can prepare the soil so that the seeds have a better chance of germinating and growing in a healthy way. You can see, I think, how this fits. We call it cultivate and proclaim. In your bulletin, if you'd like to keep the notes there, there's a couple of slots there. Stage one is cultivate and proclaim. The second step, I wanted to include this verse here. Our perspective on this. This is from 1 Peter. And in this letter to his friends, he writes, in your hearts revere or honor Christ Jesus as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Of course, this applies to us right here in London, right? In our neighborhoods. We want to present the gospel with gentleness and respect, giving an answer. And it also applies to our workers as we see the ground tilled carefully so that the seeds have their best opportunity. The next stage, stage two, is a little bit further on, and you might need a trowel for this. You've got the right tools. It's important that if you're a gardener, you have the right tools. You might need some training, and so do workers. You see, these little plants that are fragile and delicate, and they may need some help, even some protection along the way. And as they grow up, we want to make sure that their roots go down. Colossians says, be rooted as you are built up, Colossians chapter 2. And this is where a discipler can come alongside baby Christians. We don't want them to stay baby Christians. We want them to grow. This week, I was in my journal and flipping back a few pages, and I came across something I had written from a Willard book, Dallas Willard book. I'd like to share this with you. What do we mean by disciple? This is what we mean. The disciple is one who, intent on becoming Christ-like, systematically and progressively rearranges his or her affairs to that end. Intent on becoming Christ-like, there's that desire there, systematically and progressively rearranges his or her affairs to that end. It's a piercing question for us, isn't it? Are we doing this? And are we equipped to do it in other places? Are we able to help others carry out this process in their lives as well? This is our desire in the troweling, making sure that the soil is piled up there and the fertilizer is appropriate and everything's in order so that it can grow to maturity. Stage three is when the plant is a little bit more mature, and here you can just see now they're just stakes. It's more independent. It's on its own, but still has a few supports. If a serious wind comes along, there's still a bit of help to keep the balance there, to keep it grounded there. This is the stage in church planting that we call developing leaders, helping the church raise up leaders from their own people. Instead of being foreign workers, foreign missionaries, they have local pastors and teachers who can equip the church and teach others. And then we go on to a stage where the tree may look like this. Now, originally, I put this slide in my PowerPoint presentation, but it is no longer in my PowerPoint presentation, even though you see it there. I changed the slide because it's a big tree. And that's okay, but I changed it from this slide to the next slide, this one. Now, what's the change that I made? Go ahead. Fruit, bearing fruit. That's right. I don't want to get caught in the idea that success means big. I appreciate that agreement. Success doesn't mean big, but it does mean fruitful. It's more important that it's fruitful. And so this is our desire, that we see these churches grow up to fruitfulness where they have their own seed, which in turn can be sent out to plant other trees. And therefore, it's a cycle that takes place. I think you get the idea from it. Periodically, of course, we still help with this. We say when it's fruitful, then we are training and sending workers, so that they have internal strength in their church, but they don't rely on the mission workers anymore, and they are sending out their own workers. We're seeing this in Ukraine and Russia, especially in Ukraine, where I used to serve. I was a teacher in a Bible college there, and we were originally training pastors so that they had Ukrainian pastors, but now we're training trainers so that the teachers in the Bible schools and the seminaries are Ukrainians, and they don't need us to be there anymore. We still go to share in it and to help, but they're not dependent on us. And now we're seeing that they're putting together their own mission agencies and sending Ukrainian workers out around the world as missionaries. They used to receive missionaries. Now they are sending missionaries. And we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord? Yes. So the cycle is complete. Here it is in one quick diagram, if I can just do this quickly. Stage one, cultivate and proclaim. Stage two, disciple believers. Stage three, develop leaders. And stage four, train trainers and send workers. And the cycle begins to go and to go and to go. This is the first part of our core purpose. Send's core purpose is to plant churches among the unreached. So taking this cycle, where are we going with it? Very quickly, let me show you what we mean by church planting. Where we do it is among the unreached. And I want to define, what do we mean by unreached? Unreached means this. An unreached people is a people group among which there is no indigenous, that means local, community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group. Now, some people sometimes say, well, you know what? I have neighbors who are unreached. Do they fit into this category? Do your neighbors fit into this category? No. Or they'll say, I have friends at school who are unreached. Or I have colleagues at the office who are unreached. Do they fall into this category? No. Why not? Because you're there. In this case, unreached refers to those places where there is no church. There are no believers who in sufficient number to evangelize that people group. So some statistics have been put together. These are grand but helpful macro statistics. A pie chart looks like this. From joshuaproject.net, the pie chart has three sections, green, yellow, and red. Green is where the church has been formed, represents approximately 40% of the world's population. The church is there, and the tree is healthy and growing to a measure. Yellow is where the church has been planted. Maybe you can envision it with the stakes around it. It still benefits from some outside help. But the largest piece of the pie, actually, 43%, you can see the rounding there, 43% of the world's population does not have access to someone to tell them about Jesus. The church caring that we described of a life group caring for the people there, there's no church. There are no kids' clubs there, no Sunday schools. And when we take our population, this morning I checked, this is to today, 7.2 billion people, 43% of that means that there are hundreds of millions, even billions of people in the red piece of pie, what I call the red zone. Where are these people located physically? I'm just going to take a physical map and lay it over the top here. You can see where the colors are. Now, this is a macro view. People are mixed all over the world. We understand that. But generally speaking, these are where the people groups are. And you can see across that center section, North Africa, Middle East, Indian subcontinent, and then into Southeast Asia, there's a focus of the red people groups, unreached people groups. So what missionary organizations have done, missiologists have done, we've identified this area, the 1040 window, we call it. It's from 10 degrees north latitude to 40 degrees north latitude. That's the 1040 window right there. 85% of unreached peoples live in that window. So our goal as an organization is to work among the unreached. We're heading more and more to that window. It doesn't mean we shouldn't send workers anywhere else, of course, but does it not warrant some priority in our thinking? Does it not warrant some consideration of how we deploy the resources that we have and the people that we send out and to where we send them? The 1040 window. Take us on one slide, if you would, Steve. I want to just talk with you for a minute about the insert that's in your bulletin. Before I do that, I'll take you to Southeast Asia. Last year, I had a chance to visit one of our teams here that has set up a center for students on the edge of a campus, a university campus. There are about 40,000 students studying in this university. I stood on the roof of this building, and the director spanned his hand. He said, "Mags, 40,000 students, many of whom want to improve their English." Show us this student there, Steve. They want to improve their English, and so what our workers have done is set up English programs there. They are for pay. They're not free. The students have to pay a very reasonable amount for them, and they get great English training. And this, done by believers, they are not, can I say it this way, they are not coerced or tricked into a Bible study, but they are invited then, with relationship, to join a group that considers the claims of Jesus. And some of them have come to faith and the church is being planted there in Southeast Asia. One other place where church planting is going on in Sindh is in the Middle East. I visited there this fall, actually, and took this photograph here. So you know that we're working among Muslim people groups. With love and gentleness and respect, we are seeking to make the gospel of Jesus known to Muslims. And we see the short-term workers are being combined with long-term workers. Can I say that both are important? Short-term work is important, but so is long-term work. Short-term work will not reach the 1040 window alone. We need people who will go and live there and learn the language and learn the culture and raise their children or write to their grandchildren from there. We need creative means to do it. Send is praying for goers, people who will go. And we are also praying for senders, people and churches who will send them to these places. This is the mission of Send International. So finally, I'll ask you one last time, I think. You put up that paint one. Send's core purpose is, well, do I need to put it up or do you know it already? Send's core purpose is church planting among the unreached. So what can we do about this? I'd like to ask you if you would just take your bulletin insert for a second and turn it over. And I've just put some ideas there. I'm not going to go through it. No one is going to collect this from you, but Mario, would you come up and just play a little for us, please? I'm going to ask you to take this call to action, which is divided into three big categories: pray, give, and go. I didn't say much about giving, but less than 0.5% of Christian giving goes to the red window. You hear what I said? Less than 0.5%. It's estimated that in North America, 95% of our offerings are spent, used in North America. 5% goes somewhere else, but less than 0.5% goes to the red window. So I don't mind, as uncomfortable as it may be to talk about money, and I don't want to focus only on that, I don't mind challenging you with that truth. Does it not warrant the redeployment of our resources to reach places that have never heard? So would you take just a moment, and I'm going to be quiet for a minute, I'll close in prayer in a minute, and then I have one last story to share. But would you just look down that list prayerfully and consider how the Lord might be calling you to respond? I'll leave that with you and then we'll pray together. Lord, we remember the words in that song say, everyone needs compassion, the kindness of a Savior. Lord, we pray that you would work to get the gospel to people in that red zone. And perhaps you will use us in some ways. Maybe there are goers here, people that you would like to raise up and send. I pray that you'd give us courage to explore those things. And for all of us to take a part in sending workers to those places. Maybe we won't go ourselves, but we can help send the good news there. Lord, I pray that you would use this in our hearts and move the mountains out of the way. The things that we perceive are maybe in the way, maybe those are the things that you want to address. Continue your work in my heart, Lord, and in our hearts this morning as we think on these things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mario. I just sometimes feel, I ask people to consider this and send them home with of something from the bulletin, and wanted to include that right in our time together this morning, that you can do the starter thinking on these things. Thanks for doing that. Earlier this year, Kathleen and I had a remarkable opportunity to travel to Asia. We were speaking in a conference there, and on the way home, we stopped in Japan and had an opportunity to get on the bullet train and travel north 320 kilometers an hour on the bullet train. Those fence posts were really flicking by. We visited the area where the tsunami went through now 3 years ago. And it was a sobering thing to walk through neighborhoods that only had the footings of the buildings left, 18 or 24 inches high. And to meet some of the people that had survived that, there is not a family in that area that did not lose someone, and often in the lower areas, entire homes were washed away, nothing left. We had a chance to visit a little church there that has been planted, and it's new. And there are new believers there since the tsunami. And we visited with some of them. With the help of a translator, we met an elderly couple and visited especially with the wife. And we asked her story, and she said, well, there was the day the water came. It was a pivotal day in her life. She's decades old. I don't know exactly how old she was. But that one day is marked, etched a line in her life. Her husband was in the hospital, so she was alone. And most of her home was swept away, almost completely destroyed. And a day or two later, she found herself walking down the broken street, and there was a row of people lined up for something. Something was being handed out there, and she said, what's going on here? And they said, they're giving clean water and food. She said, can I get in this line? And they said, yes, please do. Well, that was a lineup that Christ followers had. They'd put together this distribution station there, and people were lining up to get some of these supplies. That was the first day she ever met a Christian, and the first time she had ever heard about Jesus. And since that time, through the follow-up of our team and others there, she has come to put her faith in Christ and receive him as her Savior. Decades old. And a life lived, and then a tragedy comes through. And she sits there with her husband. He's come to Christ as well, and they host a small Bible study group in their home. And she says, we are thankful for the tsunami, because now we've heard the good news, and they're saved. The ethnic Japanese people comprise one of the largest unreached people groups in the world, often ranked number 2. And I've chosen to conclude today's presentation with a video that helps illustrate Sen's work in that context. We'll close with this. It's about 2 years old now, so Kath and I got to see how the development is taking place. But I think it's a great case study, a great example. One of our colleagues, Amy, traveled there. You'll hear her share what's going on there. I want to thank you for your kind attention today to these things and for taking a few minutes to lift our eyes from what is important in the local to what is important in the global, and especially important to those who have never heard. May the Lord bless us and guide us and move our hearts and move us forward until all the nations have heard. Amen.